SadPod 15, Sad's on Vacation, recorded March 2nd, 2016.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to SadPod, where stay-at-home dads talk about their happy, sad lives. I'm your host, Danny Mercer, and with me tonight are fellow stay-at-home dads, Tony Hernandez.
Hello.
David Torellio.
Hey, hey, hey.
And David Becker.
Hey, how's it going?
Our topic tonight is Sad's on Vacation, and while it's still chilly outside in most places across America right now, we all know that summer is coming, and that means summer vacation. And for decades, piling the entire family into the car and driving across the country has been the quintessential release for those summertime blues. Whether it's landmarks like the Grand Canyon or just heading out to the beach, there's a lot involved in getting our family there and back safely and sanely. Stay-at-home parents already have a rough gig, but handling it all on the road, that's where we really have to shine. So my first question, Torellio, I got to ask you, summer vacations with the entire family in the car, why?
It's an exercise in masochism. I mean, I enjoy as much punishment as possible, the responsibilities, the no break from, no. It's that opportunity to get your family together, to create memories that you can look back on at your childhood, that I have from my childhood, that I'm sure you guys have from your childhood, and just those moments that happened in your life that were just so awesome, you know, that you can just look back and say, I'm glad that we did this. And that's what I want to give to my daughter. And if we have another child, I want to give that to them and be able to spend time with family. This is why we have a family, my wife and I. I enjoy, you know, trying to grow our family. So it's the opportunity to create amazing memories and really just enjoy life for what it is.
Nicely said. Nicely said. Becker, what do you think, man? You think it's worth all that that effort to get the kids out in the car and out on the road?
Yeah, no. For me, I like to kind of keep it as simple as I can. And I think that the road trips, while they have, there's definitely some stress sometimes getting out the door. I enjoy it more than trying to get on a plane. And I actually think when it comes to being able to see family and spend time, you know, I've got in-laws that are a couple of hours away. So certainly, you know, just hopping in the car and taking a trip with them is a great opportunity. We can do it, you know, many times throughout, not just the year, but, you know, in the summer. And, you know, we really enjoy it. And it also gives the opportunity to sort of pick a favorite spot and, you know, pack everything up and go there, and again, be able to go there more frequently, versus, hey, we only get to go there once a year. But, you know, similar, you know, to Torellio, you know, they kind of making the memories and whatnot, you know, in the same location, that sort of thing. We enjoy it a lot.
Nice, nice. And that brings up a good point. Tony, what do you think? What would you rather do? Get in the car with the kids and family, or kid, I guess, in your case, and drive across the country, maybe let's say 3 hours, or get in a plane? Which one do you think would be better?
Personally, I would probably enjoy the plane, but my son hasn't flown yet, so I'm not quite sure how he's going to react when he does. But driving is not a problem. It's the preparation to get in the car to go wherever we're going that usually ends up being sometimes more effort than it seems to be worth. But in the long run, once we get on the road and we actually get to where we're going, it's all smooth then.
Cool, cool. All right. So really making memories is what it's all about. Memories that'll last a lifetime. And I think we can all agree we kind of want to do that for our kids. We want to give them the things that we're into, the things that we love. But how do you get ready for a few hours on the road? I mean, what are like the three most essential things do you need to take with you if you get out on the road in a road trip and you're going to fly out with or drive out with the kids? Becker, can you tell me three things? Because we know you, man.
Yeah. So having a Suburban.
Perfect.
Overpacking.
Well, you got the space, right? You could just put, you know, whatever you need in there.
And don't forget the dog. So those are key elements. So on our end, you know, all kidding aside, yeah, we the lists of things I oftentimes don't like when my wife or I make lists. But when it comes to packing for a road trip, we definitely start off with a list in you know, the night before. We do some, you know, some laying out some stuff, but we write every possible thing that we're thinking of, and stuff may get added or cut or something like that. But that's, to me, that's actually the most essential. It's not so much just what you're packing, but the way you're going to, the way we go about it, making sure, because the worst thing, and we've done this, it has happened before, but you know, you get somewhere, you're 4 or 5 hours away, and there's that thing that you forgot. You know, and for me, making sure that we can, and I said overpacking, right? But making sure that we have the benefit of the road trip, right, versus the plane is you can, within reason, take as much stuff as you need. And I'd rather get there and have more and not use it than get there and find out that, oh, I grabbed the portable version of something and my kid doesn't like it and we're stuck there for 2 weeks. And my kid doesn't nap because I don't have everything set up the right way. So I really just, you know, my real essential everywhere is keep the kids in their normal stuff as closely as possible. And that's an awesome benefit of just packing up the car and going.
So would you say you think that, like, one of the three essential things that I know nobody's actually going to have, but the three essential things, one of them would be the schedule, the routine?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not so much a packing item, but stick to the routine. It's definitely, you know, it's a difficult one. But it's all phases, right? So, you know, as anybody knows, whether you're home or you're away, right, different ages are easier with napping on the go versus napping, you know, at home, that sort of thing. And, On our end, I really try to keep the schedule. But again, it's about for instance, on the packing side, you know, if there's a, you know, a boppy or something for my kid to sort of be able to start to fall asleep on, you know, grab the one that's good, you know, the best one from home and bring it with you. But I would say that's my kind of gripe on having to get on a plane. You know, a lot of times you just don't get to take that kind of stuff with you. So for me, I sort of always plan around everything that they normally, they go for. And it's hard to answer just three, in a sense, cause right, each kid needs their own sort of stuff. You know, but I,
do you set limits at all?
Do I set limits? Well, I was, I think it was suggested to note my overpacking, right? So, yeah, I mean, within reason.
It's good for people to know you. They need to get to realize these things about you.
But I definitely, within reason, maybe, you know, it actually, you know, I can fit in the car too. Maybe that's my limit.
Yeah, whatever will go in the car. Sure, sure.
You know, again, ages, right? So we just had this conversation the other day. You know, we're gonna head up to the in-laws in a couple weeks, and they have a pack and play, right? So, but we're going to bring, because my daughter is 3.5 months old right now, we're in the phase where we want to bring the pack and play she uses at home because it's got the insert to be a little higher up and all that. But if you ask me in 6 months later, right, the one that's already up there, we're good to go. I don't have to pack it anymore. But in my book, if I can take that and I know that she's going to sleep better in it, why wouldn't I? And you know. And I know if there's a phase where I've got to do it, and then there's a phase where that isn't a priority. So right now, that's probably like definitely one of those three for that kid, right? And there's a difficulty with multiples that we're learning very quickly, not just around here, but even thinking going anywhere, right? It's like, what are the three most essential items for each kid? it's not just sure. Broad anymore. So it's you multiply and everything.
Absolutely. So Tony, what are your three items, man? I know you got a list.
Yeah, I'd say probably a barf bag, wet wipes, and electronic devices. And the barf bag, because my son can barf in a moment's notice. It's a characteristic that luckily he doesn't do it very often. But when he does, it is an event. And he christened our van after about, I guess we had it a month or two. And I had a lot of fun cleaning those seats, let me tell you. The wet wipes are explanatory. You know, everybody needs them. You know, they'll clean, they'll even clean mold off of vinyl, if you didn't know it, as far as vinyl siding. And electronic devices, everybody likes to have something to play with, except for the driver who doesn't get to do jack diddly, except for argue about which radio station we're going to listen to.
Yep. Drive and try to stay awake, right?
Well, staying awake's not the problem. It's, you know, whether or not I get a say in what we actually listen to when we're going down the road is another issue.
You know, I have to tell you, I don't have that issue. My wife knows I'm the driver gets. Now she actually has to change the station for me if I can't reach it, because if I'm doing whatever with the kids or too much sense, or if we're in deep traffic or rain, I'm like, okay, no, change the station. Give me something like this. Because for me, the driver is the most important person, because if anybody else falls asleep or does whatever, who cares? But if the driver falls asleep, well, you're going to have a bad day, right?
You know, routinely, my wife and my son will fall asleep. And, you know, the other nice thing about it is I've got presets on my steering wheel.
Nice.
So, but the issue is a lot of times she doesn't like what my presets are. So, you know, then I default back to, if you would like to drive, you can choose whatever radio station you would like to listen to.
That's right. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for yourself.
I will kick back and I will surf the net or listen to what I want to or what have you.
Ignore the kids. You don't have to say it. I'll just say it for my wife. She ignores the kids. That's what
it just never works that way. You know, that's okay. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
You know, we know who the better driver is, even if she says I'm not. That's okay.
You know, I'm just going to let that one go before we all get a little bitter. I'm just going to just move on there. So, you know.
No, it's just a fact. It's okay. It's just a fact.
It's a fact. Just a fact, sir. Trelio, what do you think for the three most essential things you need to take on a trip?
It's because my daughter's young. And we only have one child. It's food. It's clothing and entertainment, and we try to keep it as simple as that. When we went up to Charleston to visit my brother, he's got a pack and play up there, and I think we went there when she was maybe 6 or 7 months old. So, it worked. I was okay with her. You know, it was the floor model where she sleeps on the floor. But entertainment, not even really entertainment for her. I mean, entertaining her is as simple as giving her a piece of paper. So, but food, I mean, making sure that we have the food to get us to our destination. Once we get to the destination, you know, you can buy what you need. So really just having the clothing she needs. She doesn't need that a whole lot. And for me and my wife, before my daughter was born, when I was working, I was traveling all the time. And so I didn't want to take a lot. And so I made it a point through my career to not carry as much as I needed and reuse. And you'd be surprised how many days a shirt can go before it starts to stink. So I would just, you know, try to minimize how much clothing we took for us and for my daughter, you know, what she needed to get to the next washing machine. Mm-hmm. So
nice. Nice. So kind of packing light, but definitely covering the necessities. So,
yeah.
So, as far as things in the car, this is just something that, honestly, the barf bags brought it up, but, when our children sit up in the seat, they transfer from the little car seat, into a booster seat or the sit up car seat, whatever you call those things, but putting them inside a trash bag for when they're potty training. So if they go through it, it catches anything and doesn't get on the seat. Anyone? No, just me.
I'm still early in the stage. I guess I've seen the pictures. I've heard the horror stories. I'm glad to know that now.
I wish I'd have thought about that. Actually,
it's definitely a game changer, because there again, this is your vehicle. This is the place, the thing you're going to be driving from here on out, and you can't be driving around smelling like vomit.
I think, you know, that you say that, I think my mother had put a cover, like just a blanket or something, over the back seat, because for the longest time we would just draw over everything. Yep. So it's funny you say that, to like put down a plastic bag. Now I just remember my mother putting this, and I want to say it was a couch cover over top of the back seat so we wouldn't draw on it.
Yep. or a blanket.
This would be a good time to note, when packing everything, pack some cleaning products too.
Nice. Now, do you, other than wet wipes, really, do you take cleaning products in your list?
I legitimately do.
You
I
do? Know. That's awesome.
I I've got my stain pods. I have the type of detergent that I like, and I've got
is it
my
travel size
OxyClean spray. Well, you know, no, if I'm driving. I started this off with Suburban.
He's driving a Suburban. He can take 50 pounds of it.
There's a reason for all of this.
He's got his own washing machine back there. He doesn't want to use anybody else's, so he just puts his own in there.
Pretty much. That is literally the washing machine's the only thing I have to adapt to. I bring all, you know, the usual stuff and you laugh, but I mean, I've had blowouts and stuff and where you gotta like, I mean, and what do? You're like, you get there and you know what? It's nice to have your own cleaning supplies, you know?
Sure. I have to tell you, I have visions of the, of my aunt's sofa with thick vinyl covering on it. Talking about, you know, it brought back memories. I mean,
that's right. You squeak a lot, but it's much easier. You stick to it, but you can clean it really easily. So, all right. So we all have kind of our different ways. I love it that we do it. And Becker, I'm not saying your way is not right, man. I don't want you, I know I'm going to make fun of you forever, but, you got your system, man. You got your system. It's very impressive. I know, I have a list, but generally I don't keep on the list. I forget about half the stuff. So, but we all have different necessities, things we want to bring with us. No, nobody got corny and said a sense of humor, but I think we all have to keep it anyway. But let's talk about the things we've run into on our trips in the past. Tell me your war stories. What's the worst thing that ever happened to you on a summer vacation road trip? And try to keep it funny, but if you got to go a little sad, that's all right. Anybody got a war story? Go for it, Becker.
Yeah, I mentioned blowout. I mean, but I rank that up there. I mean, there's all sorts of things.
Was that for you?
What? Yeah, not a tire either. Oh. That would have much preferred that. Much, much preferred. No, I mean, you know, it was my daughter was probably, I'm thinking back, probably around like the 3-4 month mark. And, you know, the very worst thing, it's more like sad, like you just feel bad for her, but you just don't know. And, you know, sometimes you're in the car, it's in the diaper, like you don't smell it. I mean, it's just, we end up in traffic, and it was probably what should have been a 2-hour run turns into like a 4-hour run. Should have been there at like 11:30. We get there like 1:30, 2 o'clock, something, you know, somewhere around there. And she had been like crying, but we thought it was because the car stopped, right? We were in traffic, there's construction, you know, you just couldn't pin it on something. And she's in the bucket. And we get there like a couple hours later and realize, oh no, it wasn't because the car stopped. It was because, and you know, it just not a pretty, you know, not a pretty situation. And then I broke out all those cleaning supplies. So we did.
And you were fine, right? But
there was a happy ending for everything, including the clothes.
It wasn't even smelling a few minutes later. It smelled like lemon fresh.
Well, that was like the crazy, like the car didn't, you know, it was like the car didn't smell. Like you could just couldn't.
So it didn't smell at all?
We just couldn't, no, you couldn't pick up on it. It was bad, but it was like, you know, it's in the thing, it's in the bucket, you know, it's like under, for whatever reason. And we were just so, you know, at the time, like I'd never make that mistake again. I'd be like, well, after an hour, my God, it must be something totally different. But we just were so fixed at that point on, well, if the car doesn't move because we're in traffic, that must be it. Because kids like when the car moves. And, you know, 4 years later, that's not the way I think. But I know to keep isolating the issues, but just.
Well, it always comes back to poop.
It does, doesn't it? Right?
It does.
It's like poop. I said poop. All right.
It's just, I have tried throughout. I've been a stay-at-home dad for about 6 or 7 years now. And I've told myself, I am not going to be posting like on Facebook or Twitter or anything, constant poop stories. I'm not going to be that guy, because I know a lot of parents because it's just the thing that runs, you run into it all the time. But my daughter had a blowout, and it And my older brother, now this was my, when this is my first child. So she was just about 18 months old. And again, you don't know what you're doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. And my brother told me that his daughter had had a blowout. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I, you know, okay, whatever, buddy. He goes, no, man, it was all over the car. I'm like, yeah, 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 yeah. We're driving. I'm taking her to the sitter because we, at that time, we were both working outside the home. And she starts crying and she's crying. And like you said, you know, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. The kids cry, you know, here's a pacifier. She never took a pacifier, but try it anyway. Here's some Cheerios. What do you need? And she's crying and it hits a crescendo. And I look back and I literally see the back of her hair go up. And I went, what in the, and then the smell hit me. and I pulled over immediately. I mean, I went from like middle of traffic on a 5-lane highway to all the way to the right-hand lane emergency lane thinking, oh, and she was fine. She's looking at me like, hey, Dad, what's going on? We're all cool here. Yeah, no, keep driving. And it had gone all the way up her back, hit her in the hair and hit the roof of the car. And I went, okay, well, well, we got to burn this one down. You know, I mean, it's just get the baby out.
Do you strip her naked and just burn everything?
Just burn everything. That was the only way to be sure, you know? You just,
about keeping the car forever? I don't think so.
And it was just, how does it get on the ceiling? I mean, how does it get on the roof? But it's just a little bit of back pressure, you know, and they do their thing. And I always say, you know, I'm not going to tell poop stories. I'm not going to tell poop stories, but it always comes back to poop. Poop is what makes
the world go around.
Just, it is. It makes the world, where's that little book? Everybody poops. Yeah. That one is horrible. All right. So anybody else have any war stories they wanted to share for?
Not poop related. And this is actually more personal than anything else. We were in New York City visiting my aunt for Thanksgiving. We went to the parade. We did the big parade. And we came back, and I think it was the next day, somebody had broken into our trunk and stolen our winter coats.
Oh, no.
And that was just the beginning of it, because my aunt owned a health food store, and she would sell wheatgrass. And my brother and I, we were, I don't know, 8 and 13. And so we decided that we would try wheatgrass for the first time. So we had a shot of wheatgrass. And we thought it was so amazing, we would have a second. We had a second shot of wheatgrass. And then one of the big things before we would leave New York City is we would get bagels. So my mother takes us down to this bagel joint, probably 5 or 6 blocks down the way. And as we're walking down there, I start feeling queasy. And I'm just thinking, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And about 3 blocks in, just Ralph all over the street sidewalk. It was just, it was so miserable. And so we still go. We still go to the bagel place. And it's like, okay, so we're only dealing with me and everything's going to be fine. And my brother standing in line waiting to get bagels, just blah, everywhere in the middle of the bagel store. And I thought it would have been me, but it was him. So we both lost our, just lost it all. And nice. Unfortunately, this like bagel place that we really liked wasn't open the next year that we went. I don't know if it had any relationship to us, but it no longer exists.
Well, you know, thanks for not sharing a poop story. That's good. that's fantastic. And building on, you know, these are bad things. I mean, they're not, I wish they'd never happened, but they do. And they kind of are what make, you know, the memory of the place or the thing. I don't know if any of you know I think it's HBO TV or Showtime TV show called Black Sails. It's obviously pirate theme TV show, but they have a boat, and you guys are wondering where I'm going with this, but they have a ship that they film on, and it's called the Andalusia, and it's one of the only existing remaining, you know, actual pirate ships that's been sailing for years and years. And it was coming down the coast, and we're in Georgia, so we're close to Savannah. And I said, we're taking the kids. We're just going to head down there. It's a 5-6 hour drive down. we're going to see the Andalusia, walk around, and we're going to come back. You know, it ended up being more of a trip than that because my wife wasn't really willing to do that one day thing. We ended up staying overnight, Yahoo, but we get on the Andalusia and it's amazing. I mean, it's a pirate ship, man. I mean, it's just fantastic. And it, you know, of course they sail it all up and down the coast, so it's ready to go. And I'm walking around with my little bitty baby girl, and she's just old enough to where she's toddling a little bit and can get on my shoulders and what have you. And so walking around inside the ship, I didn't want her grabbing anything. So I put her on my shoulders. She plopped down on my shoulders. Her diaper popped, and something warm and wet ran all the way down my back and onto the deck of the ship. So when she's 17 or 18, I'm going to get her a picture if she's going to go out into the wide, wide world and just always remember, this is the Andalusia. You peed on that ship. Yeah, actually on it. You marked it as yours forever. So maybe you should be a sailor. I don't know.
Did you have to swap the deck after that?
There are people there that are just like ready for some idiot like me to pop a diaper or something. There was a guy and he was like, no, I got it, sir. He cleaned it right up like it never happened. I don't know if he's got kids or if he's just, you know, he's, but I asked him. I did ask him. No, he did it. I asked him if this was the poop deck, and he said no. So, yeah, it's a long way for a funny joke, but it wasn't that funny. So. But these kind of things are kind of what you laugh at later. I mean, this is what your kids are going to pick up. So what are some of your favorite memories? What are some of the things that you think back and like, you know, we went to here, we went to there, either with extended family or your direct family, with your parents or your grandparents and what have you. Tony?
Well, I've got a couple of stories, but I'll go with the I've been going with my extended family on vacation for probably 27, 28 out of 29, 30 years. And it always seems to be a little bit of fun getting there. But once it is, it's kind of nice and relaxing. So that's not a stressful time. And we normally don't have a set schedule about what we're going to do at any particular time other than eat. Basically, other than that, you know, we kind of just do things as we feel like doing them. The memory that sticks in my mind most about actually traveling and being in a car was when I was about 10 years old, and we were traveling from San Diego to Louisiana. And my dad had this old, it was like a 72 or 76 square back VW that was air cooled. So it was the loudest square back Volkswagen on the planet. And, you know, there's got that underlying noise going on. I'm in the back seat. The dog's sitting next to me. The dog's whimpering, but, you know, nonstop. My mom's screaming in the front seat, shut up. You know, after about 25, 30 minutes, she's got a piece of paper. She whacks the dog upside the head. And of course, the dog doesn't quit screaming. And I'm just like, I decided right then, I just want the out of this car. If I ever get to the point to where I become an adult, I'm not riding anywhere else. I'm not going to do it. I don't have to get in the car and sit for hours and hours with my parents if I don't want to. And you know what? From that point forward, when I left the house, my mom and I have not been in a car for any extended period of time. So nice. There you go.
That's your good memory.
Well, it's not an awful memory, but it is a memory. So
it is definitely.
It's better than poop.
It is. I have to say, it's better than poop. Or
it's clean. It was a clean story.
One of the only people that can tell a funny story about his past and not involve poop, or about with his family not involve poop. You're a star. You're a superstar. All right. So Becker, what do you think? What do you have? Give me some great memories, man.
Yeah. On our end, you know, our sort of favorite vacation spot is out on the Cape, and we try to go out there a couple times a year. And my in-laws have a place that they've had since my wife was born, and so yeah, I think different experience for me than necessarily for her, where, you know, it's like, hey, I grew up, you know, here, whereas I kind of entered going there at a later age, but. For us, it's just a kind of a place of comfort, sort of, you know, because we're always going to the same place, and it's sort of just going to another one of the, you know, family's houses. And I think it's a place just where we're, in a sense, we're just building those memories over and over. And, you know, and I think it's just, you know, that my daughter, as she's getting older, she certainly, you know, she really looks forward to going there. And so I think it's sort of not so much just the existing memories there, but it's more that kind of process of just sort of having that place that we go and enjoying that. And I just can see that kind of, you know, the arc there just keep going. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And something you want to pass down for your kids, for them to use for their vacations, or not use, but to go to on their vacations as well.
Yeah. I think that's sort of the way we view it. I mean, it's sort of, yeah. I mean, there'll be the next, you know, the next one. And, you know, we've definitely, we've built that out now, like as a, it's sort of turned into like, there's a whole wave too with other cousins, and their kids and everyone's sort of there. And I think it's, which is kind of a nice thing for everybody. And I definitely think it's, to me, that's that to me is also, if you get into the road trip side versus, you could do it with flying, but I mean, with that road trip side, it's just, you know, you can have a place like that and you can go. For us, we'll be there 3-4 times this year probably. And, you know, we've talked even, you know, as the kids, you know, as they get older, that, and it's that balance, right? On the stay at home side, right? Sometimes I want to go there, but then I'm like, oh, wait, my wife's going to come home to an empty house. So we don't. But I, you know, I've said, you know, it's at some point, you know, there's definitely going to be trips like that where the kids are going to say, hey, I want to go. And for sure. You're just going to say, all right, I got to go for a couple of days and do that. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
For me, you know, my family, my mother's side of the family, we have these get-togethers once every two or three years. And so the last time we had a get-together, this was before my daughter was born, but my wife and I, we drove up to Charleston, picked up my brother, my sister-in-law, and my nephew, and we drove from Charleston to Tennessee. It was, I can't remember the state park in Tennessee, but it was so much fun to spend that time with my brother and my sister-in-law, with my wife and my nephew. You know, I think we went up the day before, and we just had dinner. And then that next day we stopped off in Atlanta for my nephew to get his Peruvian passport. And then we made our trip up to Tennessee, and we have this huge family reunion where it's my mother's side, her aunts and uncles. We all get together and all of my mother's cousins. And it's something that's been going on now for about over 10, 20 years, I guess. It's just something that we've done all the time. And it's been so much fun. And we have one scheduled for this summer. And I'm really looking forward to it because it's an opportunity for my daughter now to meet her great, great aunts and uncles. And my grandmother was such at the time, like as a little kid, you know, I loved my grandmother. She was a lot of fun. But as I got older, I really got a lot closer to my grandmother. And she was such a big part of my early adult life. And so the fact that her siblings are still around, my great aunt, I believe she's in her 90s, her late 80s or early 90s. And they're still very active. So it's such a great opportunity for my daughter. I mean, she may not remember it, but the pictures will be there, and it'll be something that maybe just sparks a little bit of interest about her past and who she, you know, what makes her who she is. You know, that's being able to get together with my family. That was so much fun, and I can't wait to share that with my daughter.
Very cool. Very cool. Tony, what's your favorite place, you think?
Actually, it's where we go every year. It's Kitty Hawk, Nag's Head, North Carolina. And the thing about it is I get up early in the morning, I'm on the beach, camera usually in my hand. Usually I ignore the phone for the first 3 or 4 or 5 rings and do what I want to do, take pictures if I feel like it, walk on the surf. And the high point of the whole week, other than being with family when the phone generally not ringing unless it's family that's calling you, is a thick, good piece of tuna. I don't need anything else other than tuna and a drink. You don't have to bring me rolls. You don't have to bring me vegetables. Just bring me a big slab of tuna. If it's just fresh, just that's all I want. I'm happy. Everybody knows it. By the time we're done with dinner, I've got a big smile on my face like I'm the cat that just ate a whole fish, and I'm good.
Nice. Very cool. You know, I have to say, and it comes back to something that I heard actually the first time I heard it was at the National At Home Dads Convention. But one of the guys said, you know, it's not about the activity. It's about the relationship. And what he was talking about is when you take your kids to do things, if you take them to, you know, whatever, if they're, you know, an after school project or scouts or, you know, going on vacation, it's not really what you're doing. It's the memory you're making while you're there. It's the relationship between you and the place or you and your kids. It's what's more important. It also seems to be really what we think about the most rather than, you know, oh, I have this bad memory of when we did this and that, even though it's funny now. Or I have this great memory of these things that we did.
Definitely. We go to the aquarium a lot of times, and we have a membership to it. So it's not like it's, you know, a stress to go there. And it's one of the four aquariums that North Carolina has along the coast. My son just loves going to it. And last year we went, and we didn't realize that they had an actual captive program rehabilitation for turtles. And they have a nursery / emergency hospital, rehab hospital, and they allow you to walk in and look at the turtles in containers, you know, tanks, and ask questions of the people who are actually taking care of them. So that was a really neat aside to just going and looking at the fish and what have you in the aquarium itself.
And definitely, I don't want to make everything a teaching moment, but I do kind of want to make everything a teaching moment with my kids. But it's definitely one of those things where you can look at them and say, this is the world, this is the way these things are. You know, these are the way these things get taken care of. These are people that actually their life is taken care of, in this case, turtles or what have you. That's kind of cool, man. It's good. And that's a great place to wrap it up for our show this evening, guys. For everyone out there, I do want to say first thanks to my guests on tonight's show, Tony Hernandez, David Becker, and David Torellio. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Good to have.
Thanks for having me.
And everyone, please follow us on Twitter at SadPod, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to us via iTunes. Don't forget to give us gushing reviews because you know we're awesome. It's what we do. Also, special thanks to Micah and me for the use of their excellent Super Daddy Fun Day. Play us out, Micah and me. It's just another ordinary, typical day. Me and my daddy gonna go out and play. I hope my baby sister